You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. 2 weeks ago, we did the finances aspect of living life towards our target. We've had three focuses: our faith, our family, and our finances. But we've spent the last few weeks preaching a series called Arrows. And what we wanted to do in this series is really focus on the one thing that God has been speaking to us versus the things that distract us. We kind of laid a foundation at the beginning of our series that said that the enemy will do whatever it takes to distract us from what God wants us to focus on. And so I don't know if this may be the first time you popped in, maybe the second time you popped in during this series, but we said that God gives us a target, a focus at the beginning of the year, and right about the middle of March, it seems like the enemy begins to distract us, and the thing that we believe for in January, it becomes something that we feel like we can't acquire, something we can't see God bring to us. And so we just spent time focusing on our faith first, because we wanted to build our faith, our family as a focus, and then finances. And so we spent 2 weeks ago focusing on our money. Everybody say money. Money. And I said that I was going to finish it when, you know, next week, but obviously Taisha preached. But I was going to finish it today, and I thought, I can't do that, because the Lord's been dropping some stuff in me. And so can I just light a little fire under us? Yeah. Is that all right? Yeah. Now, a little talk back does everybody good. Can you say amen? Amen. Do y'all need some calisthenics this morning? Huh? Y'all need some spiritualese? Huh? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say preach it?
Preach it?
Can you say you better say that?
You better say that.
Good, good. I feel you can use any of those. If you have your own, feel free to use it. Feel free to use it. I don't mind. But I feel like the ride is always better if you have a little talk back. You with me?
Yeah.
And if you're not a talker, don't worry about it. Give me like this. I'll take whatever you can get. I like that. Somebody pointed. I appreciate it. Matthew chapter 6 says this. In order to catch up, go to the podcast on City Place Church, audio podcast on iTunes, Podbean, and we'll catch you up. Taisha slayed it last week in focusing on the target before the target. She said we don't just want to just preach. We don't preach for results. We preach because we want people to get moving and get going. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what should we wear? Anybody ever been there where you're like, what are we going to do? How are we going to cover this? How are we going to pay for this? Anybody ever been there? What's going to happen tomorrow? I got this meeting. How's this going to work out? Jesus says right out the gate, don't worry about all that. For all these things, the Gentiles, those who don't have a relationship with me, they seek. That's their target. They focus on how is this going to happen? What's going to take place? What are we going to do? How are we going to come up with this? How is this going to matter? Everybody that's outside of a relationship with me, that's their focus. They are distracted. But here's what Jesus says. He says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first, target first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Target dad first. Every answer that you need, he's sitting there going, I got it for you. But if you take your eye off of me, your mind begins to wander on things that you're going to try to figure out. Y'all with me? That's just verse number one. Verse number one. We're focusing on the target. Jesus says, hey, don't spend no time there. That's a distraction. Focus on me. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. But you got to keep that verse in mind, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to 1 Kings. We're going to tell a little story, and then we'll get out of here. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 says this, and the word of the Lord came unto him, this is Elijah, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you there. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and he said, hey, how you doing? He didn't really say that. He said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, hey, again, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering these two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as you have said. But before you get there, and before you finish all that, make me therefore a little cake first, and then bring it to me. And after that, make it for you and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you for tarrying us on your purpose and your destiny. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can you say amen? Amen. In this story, we find a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah was a major prophet of God. He would do miracles, and he'd go into the next thing, and he would speak life, and then he'd go into the next thing. And every time he was somewhere, things changed. Well, God had spoke to him, and he says, I want you to declare a drought, and it's not going to rain until you say so. I'm going to tell you when it's going to rain, and then when you say that it's going to rain, it's going to rain. He says, but before that happens, I'm going to declare a drought, because there's some things that we need to get in line. So he declares that it's not going to rain until God says it's going to rain. I'm going to come back and tell you. So as he's going to do this, the Bible says that he's going and he's ministering and he's just serving and he's giving all that he can to God, and he's hungry. He's pouring out and he's hungry. And God says, hey, you're giving and you're giving and you're giving. Don't worry. I'm going to feed you in the midst of your serving in a dry place. God's real cool. He says, I've got something for you. So he says, but here's the thing. There's a widow woman. God could have sent them to any woman. He sent them to a place where the woman had already been missing something that she once had. God's funny. Let's keep going. So he sends her to a widow woman. And when he walks up to the widow woman, God doesn't tell him how it's going to play out. He just says, she's going to feed you. So he goes over to the widow woman, and the widow woman is getting something prepared, and the man of God is there. He's been serving, and he says, hey, would you bring me something to drink? And she says, ooh, you're Elijah. I will definitely bring you something to drink. So she's going to get something to drink, and as he's going to get something to drink, he says, hey, can you also bring me something to eat? At this moment, God is having this sort of interaction with what God sees that I don't see, and her need. Go, bring me a meal. She says, the only thing, I don't mind bringing you the water, but here's my situation. When I look at my situation, I've got these sticks, I've got a little flour, got a little oil. Things aren't good in my house right now, sir. I'm gonna go make this cake, because we're not gonna make it tomorrow. All I have in my house is this little flour, but a little bit of oil. Elijah doesn't even hesitate. He says, oh, okay. You gonna go home and make a cake? You gonna make a cake? Go make your cake. Go make your cake. Do everything you said you're gonna do. But before you do that, will you bring me a bite? Go home, make your cake, and bring me a bite. Bible says that the woman doesn't really argue back. She says to him, all right, hold on, give me a minute. She runs home, brings him the cake. But he had said something before that built her faith. He said, go bake the cake. You can bring me the cake. And the cake that you're eating on ain't going to run out. And neither is the oil. God has a way of seeing what we don't see. In the first few weeks of the series, we said that when God shows us something, we have to see it before we see it. We have to see it before we see it. So here it is. She sees what she sees. I ain't got enough to feed my own family. You want some, God? I ain't got enough for me. I tell you what, go do what you see. But let me put a little something extra on it. When you bring it back to me, I'm going to eat some. And you can find it when I start eating some. You're going to have enough that's going to last you till the rain begins again. And your oil won't even stop until it rains. Go ahead and give that a shot first. And I can imagine her going, this is a little different here. The only way that she goes and grabs what the man of God told her is that she saw it first. The only way that I go and do something if I see it happening the way he said it would happen. So you have to see it before you see it. We said that a few weeks back. So I'm catching you up on the run. You have to see it before you see it. So she says, all right, I'll go. So she goes and gets it. And she brings it back to him. And we said, and it's really not in this text, but we said that after you see it, you also have to write it down. You have to write it down because then it's just a good idea. It's not really vision until you write it down. So I can't really target something that God says to me if I don't write it down. But I was like, she didn't write it down in the text. But here's the thing that I thought, we don't know the distance from her house to where Elijah was. So I imagine her going, okay, and if I grab this bread, he said that it was going to come back to me. And then when I get home, I'm going to bring the bread. I'm going to bring the bread back to him. And he said, I'm going to eat it for many days. So, I'm about a mile away from the house. So he said to me that if I write it down, then he would, not write it down. He said, if I go home and get it, I'm going to bring it back to him. He said, I'm going to eat for many days. So I can see her just taking all these steps and recalling it back to herself. She didn't really write it down. But I saw her kind of just taking this distance to her house and just repeating it so that she wouldn't forget it because she already saw it because she was already on her way home. We said that you have to see it before you see it, write it before you see it. Then we said you got to say it before you see it. And then the final thing we said, you got to act on it. This woman grabs hold of everything that Elijah says. She goes, she brings it to him. And the Bible says she brings it to him, puts it in his hand. And the story goes on to say that she eats for many days. Here's the thing that I find really, really amazing, that in my insufficiency, there is God's sufficiency. In my insufficiency, there is God's sufficiency. See, I spend my time on what I can naturally see. This is not enough, God. How can I give to you, God? How can I focus on you, God, when I don't have enough time, when I don't have enough money, when I don't have enough energy? All I have is an hour. I work 10 hours a day, God. God, all I make is this. How can I give you the first part, the tithe, God? God, I'm running from here to there and trying to do what I can. How can I give this to my family, God? And we look and we see insufficiency, and God says, boy, do everything you got to do. Keep doing all that. But before you land there, let me put a little extra sauce on what you see so that you can see what I see before you look again and see what you see. You got 10 hours. Go ahead, you got 10 hours. You got a little bit of money. Yes. You got a little bit of time. I got you. Keep doing what you're doing. But, see, the Bible says this, I believe it's in Matthew 17. There is a tree that Jesus said, man, you talk to that tree. Go ahead. Tell it to just kind of wither. The disciples don't do it. And they say, Jesus, how come? And Jesus says this. He says, listen, if you have unbelief, that's going to pause you where you are. He says, but if you say, and you say something with faith as the size of a mustard seed, the little mustard seed, it seems so insignificant. He says, if you use what little you have, you could speak to something that seems bigger than, out of reach. He says, you can use the insufficient thing. And then when you use the insufficient thing and then you speak, oh, wait a second, I got to see it before I see it. I've got to just kind of let that thing rumble. And eventually I've got to say it. And if I can say it, he says, be specific, mountain, move from there to where I need it to be. He says, it'll be done for you. It will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. He says, okay, so you've got to target what little you have on what you see based on what I tell you. If you target what little you have, I see it as sufficient. I will take your insufficiency because in your view, this is all I got. I've got nothing but. I've got nothing but a little bit of flour and a jar of oil. If you will realize that in your insufficiency, I got a lot to work with. You could take your insufficiency and target your mountain. Did you see that? He could have said you could have targeted. He could have just left it so blank and targeted. He could have said targeted. He goes for the biggest thing that seems like it is impossible. And he says, you can be specific in your approach. Notice how in all of Jesus' speak, he's speaking with a specific target. He doesn't just leave it blank. He says, say to the mountain. Jesus, you're talking about a tree. Say to the mountain, be specific when you speak to your obstacle. Move from here to there. Get out the way. You are in my way. You are distracting me. Here to there. Not God, remove it. Where you want it to go. We don't want remission. We want healing. I don't want just increase. I want overflow. I don't want calm. I want order. Be specific. He says, use the insufficiency that you have. I can work with that. Be specific. What's your target? My target is you have mountain level potential. I know you didn't see that. You didn't know about that. But as I'm describing it to your disciples, you have mountain level potential. He says, now your faith might be the size of a mustard seed, but you have mountain level potential. See, in your insufficiency is God's sufficiency. Are you with me? I wonder where the insignificant place of your life lies. What's the insignificant thing? You know, the place that you try to avoid sometimes. Can't go there. I don't know enough to go for that. What do I look like going back to school at my age? You know that. Insignificant place. How can I get remarried again when the first one didn't work out? It's the insignificant place that you and I don't allow God to use sometimes. Jesus was clear in Matthew chapter 6. He says, hey, don't worry about none of that. The Gentiles are spending all their time focusing on that. He says, but if you focus on me first, everything that you might be worried about, don't worry about it. I already got that taken care of. So the woman goes and she grabs the meal. She brings it back. But she had already told him, all I have is just this little bitty flour. Oh, you know what? But there's also a jar of oil. I wrote this down, y'all. I wrote this down because I have this, but I also have this. I wrote this, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but some of us have big butts and we don't even realize it. Some of us have big butts and we don't even realize it. She said, I got a little bit of flour, but some oil. I got a little bit of flour, but some oil. That story reminded me of another woman that tried to bring up an excuse. Look, check this one out. And I think this is 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Look at this. It says, and a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, my servant, my husband is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my sons to be his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what you need me to do? You all over the place. I need a target. What's your target, ma'am? You came to me. What's your target? Come on, let's get specific. Come on, let's get specific. What do you need? What do you need? I know. I understand. Come on. What do you need? What's your focus target? You come to me. What can I do for you? Be specific. She said, and then he says this, tell me What do you have in your house? Pause. Pause. First story. Ma'am, can you go bake me a cake too? But all I have in my house is a little bit of flour, but a jar of oil. Back to this story. Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. This story is mirroring the first one. All I got is this but. There's another big but right here. You and I have big butts and we don't even realize it. We use but as an excuse. I'm not trying to offend anybody. We use it as an excuse. I have nothing, God, for you to work with, but. I have nothing to reach for, but. I have nothing that I can give, but. And every single time, God goes, let me work with that. Check this out. Next verse in this chapter, verse 3. Then he said to her, okay, go. Go ahead. You got just the oil? He says, go. Borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in to your house, shut the door. No distractions. No distractions. No more distractions, ma'am. You and your sons. Then pour out the oil that you thought was insignificant. He's building her faith again. Then he says, and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Next verse. Then it came to pass when the vessels were full. Say what? Time out. This means to tell me that this woman is already starting to pour the oil. The thing that was insignificant was extremely significant. She's just now starting to pour the oil. It says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said unto her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay off your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. Okay, time out, God. In my insufficiency, there is sufficiency. In my big butt, you mean to tell me that you don't see that as an excuse, you see that as an opportunity. You and I have got to get the butt out of the way and let God use the insignificant place. Our excuses have got to be put aside. You serve a big God. Your butt has got to get out of the way. You and I have to let God do amazing things with what seems insignificant. It was nothing but God that kept you. It was nothing but God that healed you. It was nothing but God that sustained you. You and I all have big butts and we don't even realize it. It was but God that kept your family together. It was but God that woke you up this morning. It was but God that keeps your mind right. He uses the insignificant thing of your life. You and I are living at a level, even in our insufficiency, where God says, I can use you where you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, but God. Ain't nobody offended, are you? Listen. Realize that your nothing but is where God works best. And your nothing but is where God works best. I have nothing but. The thing that I love about these two stories was that it seemed like it mirrored the focus of our series. Because in each one, their faith was not at its epic point of life. First story, I ain't got nothing to eat. We're going home and we're dying. Second story, the creditor's coming to take my sons. I am in debt. I love the fact that the story says that her husband served God, but their family built up some debt. We lost sight of some things. Now, since my husband's gone, my faith is being tried because he served you, sir. My family's being torn apart because they're coming to get my sons. That's the second story. The first story is, you want me to give you something to eat, God? My son and I, we're about to die, sir. You want me to give you my resources, my hard-earned money? I had to put my last few dollars in my last meal, sir. Back to the second story. Go grab the jar of oil. Pour out the last thing that you have of value, ma'am. How do I know this is going to work if I pour out the last thing that I got, sir? In your insignificance, even in your insignificant place, is where my greatest sufficiency is. God has a way of dealing with our faith, our family, and our finances. He will ask you for your insignificant thing. The 10% that you give God in your finances, it may seem insignificant. For some of us, it may seem significant, but when God sees it, he goes, just trust me. In the time that you give to serve God's house, or maybe you're serving in the school, or maybe you're serving as a coach, or maybe you're serving wherever it may be, God says, I'll take the 5 minutes. The time that you have after you've worked three jobs and you rush home just in time to wash your kids or to pray with your family, God says, I can use that. You ain't got to go to sleep all the time. Wake them kids up sometimes. Say, I'm going to pray for you. Daddy's getting ready to go. Mom's getting ready to go back to work. But I just want you to know, I'm just praying over you. Love you. God can take that few minutes. Don't view that extra those few minutes as insignificant. Let God use those insignificant moments and turn them into his greatest sufficiency. There are no insufficient places in your life except for the ones that we realize. God doesn't look at you and say, they don't have enough. He looks at you and says, what can I do for you? What's your target? If we target this thing together, you'll live on it for many days. So we're wrapping up. We're wrapping up. Watch this. Story number one. Story number one. The Bible says that the lady bakes the cake. She gives it to Elijah. Elijah eats. Watch this. I want y'all to see this. Y'all all right? Look. I want y'all to see this. And if I'm bouncing around, slow it down on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? Just go back, re-listen to it. In times one. All right, here, look, watch this. Let me find this. Oh, go to verse 15. Verse 15 of the first Kings 17. It says this. It says, and she did, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And watch now. And she and he and her house did eat many days. Do you realize that Elijah was snacking with her all that time? The presence of God won't leave you once you decide to do what he asked you to do. I love the fact that it says that she and he and her house did eat many days. I love the fact that Elijah was like, I ain't leaving right now. My presence is here. Our time together is valuable. We've changed this whole perspective. She ate with the presence of God for many days. Can I tell you that when God changes your target and you say, you want my insignificant thing? He don't be like, peace, next person. He's like, this is pretty cool, huh? He stays with you. He enjoys the ride with you because he's changed your target. I love the fact that it says that she and he ate for many days. Here's what's really cool. The lack of rain, the drought, lasted for 3 years. Jesus don't play. I don't have enough. Let me tell you something, girl. You're going to bake this cake. You're going to have that oil until the rain comes again. You mean to tell me you can use this little thing and turn it into much? He's a bad God. I'm challenging you. Give him the little bit in your faith. The mustard seed. Speak to the mountain. What? Jesus, you roll like that in my faith? Absolutely. Give him your family. All my family's got is this. You know what? I know your family want to eat. I know they're coming to get your boys. But before you do that, can y'all just focus on me just for a sec? Give him your family. Whatever little bit of time you got. Wake up in the morning. Before you go to school. Before when you come home from work. Wake them up. Put that washcloth on it. That cold washcloth on their face. Say, just want to pray with you. I love you. Good night. You're traveling a lot. Call your spouse. You're single. Call your mom. Call your dad. Call your uncle. Call your best friend. Hey, you know what? Let's just pray. I don't really care. Nothing insignificant anymore. Because in what seems like it doesn't matter, God's like, I'm about to use this thing and light y'all up. And they ate for many, many days. Second story, wrapping up with this. And the Bible says that she goes, grabs a jar of oil, grab empty vessels, pour out into the vessels. He says, I'm going to deal with your family. Ain't nothing going to happen to your kids. I'm going to rise your faith because I asked you, what do you need me to do? So I'm going to deal with your faith right now. You be specific. Here it is. I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to deal with your money. By the time you're through, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sell all this. And then he says there's something totally crazy. You're going to live off of it. The story didn't say how long. The story didn't say how long. It didn't say how long. Like, I love scripture. Like, I can't tell you. It was 3 years, 50 years, 70 years. I have no clue if her kids kept the wealth and they passed it down to their kids. One of the things that we said when we were talking about the financial series is that we have to change our mindset towards our money. Our money doesn't tell us what to do. We tell our money what to do. Go and sell your oil. Go and sell your oil. Girl, do you realize that in your house the whole time was that small business you've been dreaming about? Sell that oil. You know that business you were afraid of, will it succeed? Girl, you're going to live off of that. You tell your money what to do. You tell your finances what to do. But it's amazing how when God was involved, how the insignificant thing turned into sufficiency. This morning, I want to challenge you. Move your butt out the way. Move your butt out the way. Realize that you have some moments where God has moved your butt out the way, and it's been a butt God. But God did it. Let me give you a testimony. We got a praise report last week. I think it was 2 weeks ago, of someone that wrote in there, we want to just praise God because our house just sold and we're now debt free. Y'all ain't hear that, huh? Did y'all hear that? Y'all with me? Like, we're talking about focused arrows and we're already getting testimonies. We got a dream team post on our dream team page. There was a young lady in our church. She's faithful, giving, and she said, at the beginning of the year, I had a target, and it seemed like the enemy started attacking my family, my life, all aspects, and it felt like I was just pushing the whole year. She said, I was doing something. She said, I was just praying, and I believe, and I wasn't going to let the enemy win. She said, I was on my job, and my bosses called me in, and they said, we want to give you a promotion, and we want to give you 20% more. The insignificant thing. Imagine if she goes, tired of the fight. This is as good as it's going to be. God dealt with her faith. God dealt with her family. God dealt with her finances. This morning, my challenge is this. We've been focusing over the last few weeks. Our target has to be God first. That's what it comes down to. Our target has to be God first. He says, fear not. Fear not. Just listen to what I'm going to tell you. That's what it says in Kings. Our target has to be God first.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.